drink some more. I want to get drunk off my ass.
Hi, this is Cruella.
Hey, this is Nicky Romero.
Yo, what's up, guys? This is Cash Cash.
Hey, guys, this is Tritonal.
Hi, I'm Sonnery James.
And I'm Ryan Michano.
Ready? One, two, three.
Hey, this is Ben Benassi, and this is
the Beats and Booze Podcast.
All right, hello and welcome to episode number 13 of the Beats and Booze Podcast. As always, I'm joined by Spirito.
What up?
And today we have a very special guest in studio. We have Prince Fox.
What's up?
As well as his manager, Jared.
What's up?
All right, guys, welcome to the Beats and Booze Podcast. And it's only right that we start off with some shots,
yes.
Let's do this.
Let's do this.
Damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel.
All right, fellas, cheers.
Salute.
Good
health and good decisions.
All that good stuff.
Good decisions and tequila aren't usually very closely related, feel like.
I only make good decisions.
only make good decisions on tequila.
Last time I made a bad decision was...
6 years old?
Yeah. Like 4 or 5 years old.
I love it. So why don't you introduce yourself for anybody that's not familiar with you or familiar with your music. Who is Prince Fox?
I am Prince Fox. I make weirdly produced electronic pop music. I like... snacks, and I like music. And
long walks on the beach.
Long walks on the beach, and I like music that makes you feel something.
That's respectable. I can get down with that.
Yeah, I like that, and I actually really like. So it's been dubbed like future pop.
Yeah.
Mm.
So for some reason, people like associate pop as like a dirty word. You know, usually,
yeah.
Right? And I, for no reason, like
totally.
Pop songs are almost like universal songs. They're obviously very well written, very well produced.
Absolutely.
And they're songs that reach, you know, a mass crowd of people.
Mm-hmm.
For you, what exactly is future pop?
Future pop is like songs that are written like you're familiar with, like verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. However, like a standard quote.
Mm-hmm.
Song would be put together, but produced in a way that's a little bit more unique and hinting at stuff that you've heard before, but always kind of pushing the boundaries of what a pop song, quote, sounds like.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I heard the future pop thing, I read it, and then listening to your music, I'm like, this makes so much sense.
Thank you.
This fits that
description. Yeah, it legitimately describes it so well. It's just like Sunburn talks about with Sunset House or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like, dude, that's such a good description of it. You know, I love
that. Or Sunrise House in the case that we were just talking about.
But what's your musical background? Because I think I read you originally started out like a singer-songwriter playing guitar.
I wanted to be John Mayer.
What is it about John Mayer that
he's a ridiculously awesome guitarist,
yeah.
Like writes all his own songs, is super involved in the production of it all. I just like always respected like the way he put together his music, especially how he like put together his albums, how each album had its own sound, but were all distinctly him.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that. And then like the last 6 months of my senior year, my godgrandmother got sick with cancer and I would play guitar for her every Sunday after her chemotherapy.
Oh, wow.
Other family friends would sing as I would play guitar. And then when she passed away, her funeral was like the last place like I really played guitar publicly, at least for the next few years after that.
Yeah.
And that's when I really got into production. It wasn't until like I brought back the guitar and the songwriting that the whole Prince Fox thing started to kind of happen.
Gotcha. And I think it's really interesting because we've had a ton of different guests and stuff like that, and guys like Cash.
Yeah.
Who started out as a band and like in that kind of, you know, that playing live instrument
mm-hmm.
type of atmosphere. And I think I read that it was going to Electric Zoo that kind of changed your whole perspective on everything.
Yeah.
What for you was it that made you kind of switch over or made you think like, wow, this is the sound I've kind of been looking for?
It was kind of the right place, right time. I had been completely immersed in like the classic rock, you know, all of the things that John Mayer ever cited as a as an influence. Like
right.
I was like diving into that. And then when I was kind of stepping away from the guitar, I always like needed music in my life, but I needed to kind of step away from that stuff for a second. And then I think it all started with, I was in my like, even it was like around the time of Electric Zoo, maybe it was like a couple days before I went, someone like showed me a mashup of Someone Like You and Scary Monsters and Nice Sprites.
Nice.
And like, oof. Now we hear that. We're
cringing. Yeah.
Whoa, like, that's such a crazy thing. But it kind of like bridged the gap to make me like understand, quote, like dubstep. And then,
right.
Yeah.
Or what it was at the time. And then going to Electric Zoo, I was like walking by this tent and I think it was like Datsik and Mimosa playing mm-hmm. in the bass tent. And I just like stood there. I was like, what is happening to my chest? Like, this is the craziest.
Yeah. The feeling of walking into like a huge stage PA system is just
and
like,
I had never experienced anything.
Yeah.
I'd never been to a music festival before.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'd been to like a few live shows at Madison Square Garden, but it's not the same.
Right. Yeah, it's not. And no. MSG is like the worst music venue.
The third, fourth, and fifth dubstep song that I'd ever heard in my entire life walking into that tent.
Wow.
So it was just like a kind of like, whoa, what is this? This is so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I need to understand this. And, you know, based off of that, it kind of sparked curiosity. Like, how do they make these sounds? Like,
right.
If I can master making these sounds and putting together things electronically on my computer, will I be able to one day return and kind of produce my own album?
Yeah.
Of songs, you know, and that's how it all started.
So you grew up in New York, though. Like, was that your first time kind of really experiencing like electronic music? Because I mean, you know, there's clubs and bars and everywhere. Like, did you ever go to bars when you were like younger?
Yeah, I mean, or, I like, guess like I had whatever, an experience of electronic music, but I never
like felt it.
It never
way.
Like hit me. Like, yeah. The closest it ever got to hit me was when like I would argue with the guys on my like hockey and soccer team if we should like come out to
right.
Welcome to the Jungle or Strobe. Like, that was arguing. I was like, that's not real. Like, right. You can't
yeah.
do that. And now, like, to me, like, Strobe is just as much of a classic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just crazy how finding music in the medium that it's like created to be enjoyed mm-hmm. in changes your perception on it all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's a great way to put it.
Yeah. I think it's funny that what like EDM or whatever you want to call it, like that's what's powerful when you see it in a live setting.
Yeah.
That's when you actually really get like what it's
with all
about,
the production,
you know?
And the lights, like yeah. that's what it's about, that energy. Yeah. You also feel that vibe, mm-hmm. you know, when you're
the
at like a festival.
Reacts. I think it's unlike yeah. any other genre of music, the way that, you know, people interact with each other and the way yeah. the music kind of just takes you to another yeah. place, you know, not to be corny, but it honestly.
Totally. It's
you
like
can
the
get
most
corny,
intangible
man. Cool.
kind of music. Like,
yeah.
You can't quantify it other than like you gotta be there.
Yeah,
you
know?
Exactly.
You really yeah. Even like when you like whip out your phone, you're like, check this out.
Yeah.
It's
not
like,
the same.
You can't, no, it doesn't translate. So
no,
I totally get what you're saying there.
And we're gonna get into some of your music real quick, but I think
totally.
It'd be cool to kind of Jared, how did you guys link up? Because we've never really had anybody
yeah.
who's on the business side of things on the show before.
Managers are here, but we never put them on mic.
Yeah, and you guys just kind of talking to you off air, you guys obviously have a very close relationship. How did you guys link up?
How did we link up?
Through Wonderful.
So my partner and I had met through a sublease in Miami, actually. I was renting a mutual friend's apartment, and he was in law school and doing a remix agreement for these guys, Wonderful, out in Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
Shouts out Wonderful, though. and the kid who had done the remix for them was Sam.
Right.
And Sam sent Mark his Sam Smith remix and his Blau remix, his How You Love Me remix. And
yeah.
Mark showed it to me, and we were like, wow, like this is unreal. No one's doing this. This was like maybe a week after Flume had dropped Tennis Court.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's how early in the future bass game this was.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the How You Love Me remix did really well organically on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And then he released the Sam Smith remix. And
right.
my partner Mark grew up playing in a band with Leighton from Adventure Club.
Oh, wow.
And Mark sent it to Leighton, and Leighton tweeted it at Cruella. It was like, yo, check this out. And the song
like blew up.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, did crazy streaming numbers.
Yeah.
And then
that was all over like hype and
that's
shit.
Where that's how we got started, and mm-hmm. that's how I got into the management game. I was on the club side before.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you had managed an artist prior to him.
Nope.
Wow, that's awesome. That's a really cool kind of story. You hear a
I'm
lot of
baby.
Cool things like that.
Yeah.
Because Gazzo and his manager are like
yeah.
that as well.
Yep.
Gazzo and Rob. Yeah, all
mm-hmm.
good dudes. And I think it's really cool to kind of see those sort of relationships, you know, like a very
yeah, absolutely.
Natural relationship happening, you
mm-hmm.
know, in a very like, you know, weird industry, you know, that's usually known for, you know, not so great things.
Yeah.
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 That's for sure.
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of days that he wants to put me in the ground.
No, no, no. It's never that serious.
Well, that's, you know, I think that's like the manager's biggest role. It's just managing your artist. And like, speaking of Robin and Gazzo, they fight all the time. I mean, they're best friends. They've been best friends for years and years and years. And I feel like when they get into like arguments, Rob will manage Gazzo into thinking that he won the argument, but in reality,
that's pretty much how it's done.
Yeah, so it's
finesse.
Like, exactly, that's a good manager right there. So props to you, Rob. For
I actually have to say, it's usually me just browbeating what needs to get done, and then Mark
right.
convincing him that he won the argument.
A good cop,
but
bad cop.
Still getting. Oh, I'm always bad cop.
Yeah.
but still getting done what needs to get done.
Yeah.
KTU.
On that note, it's the music.
Yeah.
you touched on it. We have Day With Me and the Prince Fox remix of it.
Yes.
Anything you want to tell us about this song? What went into you kind of making it? Why'd you choose this song?
I was like completely in shock with how the How You Love Me one went.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what am I gonna do that's gonna
right.
be bigger than this? Like, I never experienced a track that broke like 20,000 plays on SoundCloud. I was like doing everything on my own. I like sending it to blogs on myself, like trying to figure out what Hypem was.
Yeah.
You know, just behind the ball on that. And I think it might have been like a scene from Hotel Garuda that I was like, dude, like, watch that remix. He's like, oh, you should remix Stay With Me. Like, it's around that tempo and not a lot of production, so you could kind of bootleg it without a problem. I was like, oh, it's actually a good idea.
Yeah.
So I was on vacation with my family in like Northern California. And I remember like they would go to sleep and I would work on the track on my laptop, like in bed. And I would wake up in the morning like super tired and like, what's wrong?
Why are you so tired? Yeah.
I was up working all night. And then finally, the day that I decided to release it, they were at some spring. I was like, guys, like, I really have to like stay in the hotel room for this. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're on vacation. I was like, no, just trust me. Like, it'll make a big difference if I'm there pushing it for the first couple hours. And they're like, all right. Like, it was like kind of like a melancholy, like, we understand you have to do what you have to do, but, you know, we'll see. And then, you know, it started just like putting up numbers. And they're like, oh, like, you weren't kidding. you really did do this. And that's kind of where it all started.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. So on that note, here's Sam Smith, Stay With Me, the Prince Fox remix on the Beats and Booze podcast.
This is true, I'm not good at all in it. But I still need love because I'm just a man. These nights never seem to approach. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all I need. This ain't love, it's clear to see. But darling, stay with me.
Fox remix on the Beats and Booze podcast.
Woo, woo, woo.
There we go.
What?
And so we touched on this. You're from New York.
Yep.
Yes.
And we've had like a bunch of our guests are basically all based out of LA. Like everybody seems to be moving to LA, going to LA.
Yeah,
like,
going there. Yeah, it's just recently moved there. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's
for
like
some reason. And I love the fact that you're here in New York because I am a, you know, tried and true, proud New Yorker, New Jerseyan.
Yep.
Growing up here. And I love that you're still. What is it about New York that you like that you're still out here?
My family
is
definitely the biggest thing keeping me here. Although I do have family in LA, my immediate family's here. It also helps that my label's here.
Right.
Republic's kind of the guys that I sign with are all here.
Yeah.
But with respect to me and the music in New York, definitely the pulse of the city is like kind of intangible. And like, even if I were to get a spot in LA, like I would always have to have something here.
Yeah.
There's something about it that's like addicting. Like
you, something you feel in the
like,
air, right?
Yeah. You feel like you need to get out of here. Like, oh, it's just, everybody's busy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you're complaining. Like, yep. I had to, like, stand next to this lady who didn't know her, order at Starbucks. Like, damn it, get your eggnog latte. But then you leave the city, and you're like, oh, I need to get back there.
Yeah.
Like, whew, too much nature. Like, let me back
what
in
what the hell
there.
Is this green stuff on the ground?
Yeah. Step in mud? What the hell is that?
No,
and it's
so
raining.
True.
I want to step on concrete and concrete alone. I don't want to ruin my J's.
Right?
It's so true, though, because when we got back from Miami, I came into New York, and I was like, this just feels right.
You
know what I mean? And which is absurd to probably anybody, like, listening. It's like, I just spent a week in, like, Paradise Lounge by the pool.
Yeah.
But it came here. It was cold. There was snow on the ground. But I was like, there's just something about
it.
Yeah,
no,
feels
you
right.
just feel better. Artist. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's so true.
That, and it wouldn't take 45 minutes to get one mojito.
Oh, my
here.
God. The service. Oh.
Like,
can
what?
Can we just touch on how terrible the
it's
service industry is?
It's unreal down there.
In Miami.
I don't understand it.
I got beef with Miami only because I was like spent an excessive amount of time with my ex there right before we broke up. So
oof.
It's like,
oof.
I loved Miami well before that.
Right.
But that kind of puts a weird taste in your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not
although
good.
By the time this airs, she might not be my ex. So who knows?
Wow.
We got some complicated issues here. Okay. Let's
it's complicated. It's complicated.
I think we're on like an episode of Love Line. Right
yeah.
now. Like,
we might be.
We might do a phone.
Is this like an intervention? Is she like in the other room? Like, I knew you were going to bring this up.
Well, now that you said it, let's bring her in.
Let's bring her in.
That's so funny.
Well, speaking of Miami, that's actually where we all got to meet, see you performing at the Clevelander.
Hell yeah.
Which was awesome. And
yeah, you had a great set there, too. You were just like on fire that night.
Thank you.
You were throwing some cool shit in your set at the Clevelander.
Yeah, it was crazy because, like, obviously I've heard of your name just throughout the industry and just working here, but I never kind of just, you know, really did that much digging. Or you know, mm-hmm. there's so many names, so many people we're hearing all the time out here that it's tough, you know? And then, you know, the first time I got to really, and I'm glad it was this way because I got to experience you, you know, live in your element, picking and choosing songs that made sense to you. And I was blown away. Like,
Thank you, man. Your
set was just, it was awesome. And it was so diverse and so just not like the typical set everybody else was playing.
Thank you,
know?
You, man. I really take pride in it and I appreciate that.
No, absolutely, man. And it's really cool. I mean, your taste in music has to be all over the place.
Yeah.
You were dropping like a lot of cool hip-hop stuff.
Yeah,
and,
you
like,
were it mixing was, it up. You were throwing
Halen.
Some cool shit.
Yeah, that's like a token
yeah.
in my set.
No, dude, it was awesome. I mean, and speaking of Miami, like, what was some of your favorite memories from this past trip? I mean, Clevelander to me was all that was like one of the highlights of our
thank
time
you.
There.
Yeah.
Well, I was only there for 30 hours, pretty much.
Oh wow!
Because I was at South by, and then I had to fly to El Paso for From Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
So I got off the plane at midnight, got to the place we were staying at 1, played from like 3 to 4:30, and then 6:30 to 7:30. So that was like a memory in itself, just like going through that experience, and then waking up super early, doing a bunch of interviews. And then kind of just passing out for a couple hours before my next flight.
Yeah.
Mm.
But it was really cool to get to play the Clevelander and that rooftop at 11 at the same night because the vibes were so different that I got to play like two completely different sets.
Mm-hmm. Really dynamic, like night, you know?
Yeah, I love that because a lot of times like on tour, like I change my set every night, but there's certain things like I have to play.
Right.
And, you know, there's certain things that people expect, but that second set, like being that it's that hour of the night where everyone's like tired but still trying to party.
Yep.
And
or just starting.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like
or
trying
just turning
to
up.
Experience something like new and exciting. I had the opportunity to just play like the weirdest stuff I had on my USB. It was like everything from like weird techno to like playing Missy Elliott as a genre, like things
right.
that sound like Missy Elliott, like just like playing like random 2010 Moombahtone sped up to like 130 just to get that like super groovy vibe. I don't know. That was like a really special moment because I never really get to do stuff like that where I just get to play whatever I think is like feels right.
Yeah.
And then you had a lot of freedom up there because it was it wasn't a huge crowd and it was, you know, 6 a.m. So people are, like you said, kind of like either fading or just starting.
Yeah.
So it's like you can kind of control that. That was like one of my favorite nights, to be honest, or mornings, you know, like the open air, the rooftop and like that vibe that you were putting out. Dope.
It was great.
No, it's really cool. And I actually am interested to hear about South by Southwest because it almost seems like now they're like Miami Music Week and South by Southwest are kind of pinned against each other almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was weird that they were the same week this week and this year too. It was so stupid.
And especially now that like I guess South by is opening their doors to like more electronic artists, you know. It's kind of like a weird, it's definitely weird for you guys, I'm sure. Like, you know, you have to kind of pick and choose what you're doing and it's 1 week to kind of try to hit a lot of different things.
Yeah.
What are the two different vibes like in between South by and Miami Music Week?
South by is super like grassroots, like every genre's there, everything's represented. Whereas Miami is definitely more like strictly dance.
Yeah. Right.
But as far as like vibes of the show, there was like an intense amount of diehard fans at South by Southwest, like shocking.
Really?
That's great.
I played four shows there, but there was one day where I had two shows in a day, and like there was like a group of people that were just like following me around show to show, and wow. I was like, whoa, like I've never experienced anything like this. Because like usually you play one show, you go back to your hotel, you go to sleep, you go play one the next day in another city.
Yeah.
But just like people like fiending was like a fever for the music that I had never really gotten to like see firsthand was like super inspiring, and definitely like gave me like a jolt of like, okay, like keep doing this, like something's going right.
Yeah. No, and that's really cool, because you definitely don't get that in Miami, because they can't jump from one $75 ticket show or whatever it is to the other.
I know. $200 freaking live tickets
Sexy by Nature. You buy like a whatever artist band for like $85.
Yeah, that's great.
Get into anything. And the only stuff that you may have to pay like $5 to $15 for are the unofficial showcases. Yeah. But even then, that's like a far cry.
Yeah.
$15.
Plus, like, the entire downtown is like taken over. Whereas Miami, it's pretty like beach localized, and you have like your night parties sometimes in downtown Miami and stuff. This is like every place has something. Like, from every place from the JW Marriott, shouts out to those guys. I played the Universal party there, and that was like a crack in time. That was so fun. Everything from like the super high end hotels, so like all these bars having stuff, whether it's official, unofficial, five bands, one band, whatever it is, like there's music everywhere blasting out of every speaker. Like anything you want to see, you can go see.
Yeah.
It's just like a complete frenzy, and
it's just a big playground.
It's crazy. Yeah.
That's dope.
You walk, like they shut down like all the main streets in the downtown, and it's a mob.
Wow.
From noon to 3-4 in the morning.
Wow.
Like standstill of people, you got to kind of like bob and weave through.
Yeah.
Because everyone's trying to see as much as they can.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I mean, you've been touring a lot recently.
Yeah.
We always ask this question because we always get like really cool kind of surprise answers, like as far as what cities people are really like hyped on. Like obviously there's big cities like Vegas and New York, and people know those
Miami.
Are huge like staples as far as the club scene goes. But what are some cities you've been playing in that people might be kind of surprised about to hear that it's actually pretty lit over there?
I had the best show of my life in San Francisco.
Really?
It was my first like sold out headlining show, and it was like super super sold out. We were like over capacity at 11:15. It was
shit,
the craziest night, and like wall to wall, everyone just like had their hands up like going crazy, like whether it was like actual like turned up song or whether I was like playing, you know, some of the new stuff that's a little bit more like pop focused, like everyone was just like getting into it, and that was like a really crazy experience having something like that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, the crowds are one or the other. They either, like, want the bangers or want to sing along to everything.
Yeah,
it's kind of finding that. But with them, it was just, like, anything, just, like, give it to us.
Right, they just wanted, like, the energy.
So that was a great time. And then, surprisingly enough, when I played in South Padre, Texas, it was, like, paradise there. Like, I didn't know what to expect going there, but apparently it's, like, a crazy spring break location.
Yeah.
And it was gorgeous.
A lot of Texas recently.
Yeah, we've been here. Yeah. Like Houston,
yeah.
I think.
El
Paso, too.
Yeah. Nerva was just on the show saying, was it Houston or Dallas?
I think it was Houston.
Houston. They were like, yo, Houston was fucking like lit.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, we got to get down to Houston. Also, props on the rider for the Clevelander that night. I rolled up and Jared was like freaking out. He was like, they fucking don't have 1942 or 1492. And I was like, I respect that you want that. That's great.
Yeah.
Good tequila is everything. This is what we drink on the show.
I'm so much more a quality over quantity guy.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Same with music.
Yeah, that was a very long night filled with tequila. So thanks for that. Thanks again. On that note, let's get into more music. This is your remix of Sunburn's track, Raindrop.
Yes.
Who was recently on the show last episode. How did that happen? How did you guys link up?
They asked me if I wanted to do it, and this was like early in the talks with Republic.
Right.
So at first it was like, oh yeah, like I'll do it. Like maybe we can get Kevin to remix something of mine. Like we'll do a trade or something like that. And then I was like, oh, this is actually like turning out super sick. And I got super stoked on it.
Yeah.
And then we put it out and it just started like
blew up.
Crushing online. Yeah. Like it's probably my biggest track to date.
Shit. Yeah. It's dope.
So it just like ended up being like the best move I could have made. I guess like passion projects are where it's at.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, that's, you can tell when an artist is passionate about something versus like, oh, okay, they just asked me to remix it and I put it out. So,
and Kevin's a good friend.
Yeah. Kevin's
a
man.
Homies, you know?
That's it. Sunburn. Shout out. Shout out. Let's get into that. This is Sunburn Raindrops, the Prince Fox remix here on the Beats and Blues podcast. Raindrops.
Like sea of stars in endless night. Get excited.
Woo! Hey, what's up? This is Mim.
I'm Liv.
We're Nervo, and make sure you follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Beats and Booze.
All right, that was Raindrops, the Prince Fox remix by Sunburn. So there's a video on like your Instagram and Facebook that you posted where you're in front of a step and repeat.
Yeah.
And your hands just didn't quite know
make
what to
it
do.
To my pockets.
You like missed your pockets and then they didn't know where to go. And for some reason, I just like when I first saw that, I laughed for like 5 minutes straight.
Yeah.
What happened there? I just want to know the backstory.
Well, basically, it kind of all started at the beginning of Grammy week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was Grammy week.
It was like
week.
Tuesday before Grammy week is when I recorded Fragile with Haley Steinfeld. And we took a picture together and I'm taller than she is.
Right.
So I was kind of like a little bit bent over with like my hands crossed in front of me. And I got
prom pose.
Sort of, but like a little bit more awkward because I was like trying to like fit into the picture. I kind of got reamed out by Jared and my other manager's like, you look so not confident in this picture.
Yeah.
You got to own it. Like you belong there, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So fast forward to all these step and repeats. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my hands as I move so that I look confident. But in the process, I couldn't do it.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's so
I was like figuring out, should I do pockets? Should I do in front of me? Arms crossed, arms down or sideways? Should I do a peace sign? Should I do number one? Like, what is the move? And it ended up just like fumbling through it.
I just got like a flashback of Ricky Bobby where he's just like, what do I do with my hands? He's like, hold them up here.
What are these?
What do I do? We just poured a shot, so let's take this.
Yes.
Cheers. Another one. Ha. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
It goes down. It goes down smooth.
What do you write?
Not bad.
So you signed to Casablanca Republic, right?
Yes.
In 2015.
I did.
What was that moment like for you? Like, was it a long kind of courting process and then it eventually came through?
It was like a lot of different aspects, but as far as like what it felt like, I kind of always give this analogy. It's like when you're going through puberty, you don't look down at your feet and you're like, damn, my feet got so big today.
Right.
It's like every day something new is happening and you don't kind of notice kind any of gradual, major changes until you look back on it. And you're like, oh, damn, like I did it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of like how it felt at the time. But now looking back, like it's crazy. I mean, I always wanted to be like a part of a major label system. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted like the forum to put out songs that I believed in. And they've definitely been that and more. So just happy to be there for sure.
Yeah, cool. Shout out to Casablanca.
Yeah.
Casablanca, I mean, Republic, the whole squad.
That was such a good analogy.
Jared, Rob, Brett, I love you all. Mike, Mike. there's a lot of mics in that building.
Mics? Okay.
A lot of mics.
Yeah.
There are a lot of mics over there. Brett, shout out over.
Shout out Brett.
Yeah.
What are you currently kind of working on right now? Like what's the, because we are going to get to a couple new songs from you. Or including your current release, Don't Want to Love You, which is kind of blown up right now.
Yeah. I'm super happy about that.
And then obviously you touched on it, your song with Hailee Steinfeld.
Yeah.
What else do you kind of have? Are you able to talk about anything else?
Yeah, I
can
tell you. I've been writing a lot.
Yeah.
I've kind of had like a creative burst since the new year. I've written like 4 or 5 songs with Blaze and Lil Aaron that we're kind of looking for features on. I wrote a couple with this kid, Ari Leff, who goes by Love. Worked on some stuff with Dan Farber. I've got a couple of covers in the works. Just kind of stockpiling songs to pick the best to hopefully do like a nice size EP or small album.
Nice. Maybe. Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if maybe like a full length or an EP is kind of on
there. Yeah.
Because you're one of those guys that you're pretty dynamic in your sound, so I feel like a full length would actually, you know, make sense. Like it'd be cool to hear.
Thank you, yeah.
You going through waves. Because obviously like kind of the trend right now is a lot of guys are kind of just slapping together like 10 songs or whatever, calling it a full length, and it's not like a cohesive kind of record, you know what I mean?
And even like
I'm very much interested in making a cohesive record. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that I'm making now definitely sounds like me, even though it's a lot more like dynamic than, you know, some of the other stuff. I'm kind of trying to do something new with every track. Like I was talking to Freddie from Lewis the Child about this, and we were talking about like production speed. And I was like, yeah, like in 2015, like I could sit down and have an idea and like crank out a track in like 2 to 5 hours and, you know, like call it done.
Yeah.
But I kind of had this realization that I just wasn't content with what I was putting together. So I deleted all of the presets that I'd made. I like completely started from scratch.
Oh, wow.
Started to make a bunch of new stuff. And then I'm like challenging myself kind of every time I start a song to start with like a different point. So if like I would be used to starting like with piano and then changing it to a synth or something, I would try and like find a cool synth sound and then write a melody that complemented that sound and then build something around it, or start with drums, or I could start with piano, but then kind of take it in a different route so I wouldn't run into the same lane every time.
Right.
And I feel like that's been incredibly helpful in creating a more like diverse palette of what like Prince Fox is.
And that's really cool. Like, so kind of touching on that, what would you recommend to, let's say, you know, the next generation of a producer? I was like kind of asked this question to get everybody's perspective. And that's a really cool thing you just said, kind of starting from scratch, getting rid of the templates, because I think a lot of people,
you get stuck. You get stuck in your own sound.
Yeah.
And I think there's a culture of like, you know, because there's like this mindset like, oh, one song and I can be, you know, then I'm end up being Skrillex, you know what I mean? And
Avicii.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then people kind of want to cut whatever corners they have and, you know, using presets and, you know, samples and things like that, whatever the case may be. What advice do you give to anybody who wants to get into this, you know, or who's just starting out?
First and foremost, from like a branding and like SoundCloud and fan base perspective, like play the game until you don't have to. Like play the like, you know, rapid release thing to build up followers until you feel like your fan base is ready for you to kind of take some time off and for you to put, you know, your all into like an original.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing to say, but you don't want to kind of drop your opus in a forest where nobody's listening, you know? You want to at least like build a crowd of 10, 15, 20, 1,000, couple thousand people that, you know, are genuinely looking forward to what you have to do as like an original body of work. And it's definitely a balance. I mean, some guys take it too far with the quote game of, you know, building up your numbers, and some guys don't take it far enough. But it's really something very earnest that you have to feel like when you're ready to make that transition to kind of being your own artist and not strictly like a remixed artist. It's nobody but you can kind of feel that paradigm shift. So that's like the first bit of advice.
Yeah.
And the second bit of advice is don't put anything out that you're not happy with. Always make what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
if at at first, you know, it sounds like something reminiscent of a producer that you're influenced by. Like, okay, you know, you're starting out and it's part of developing your sound is like seeing what from other people you like, what from other people you don't like. And based on your taste, you will develop your own taste with what you make.
That's a really cool perspective.
Like great advice. Yeah. I think that's some of the best advice we've had from from an artist.
No, definitely. And so you're kind of, speaking of your sound and everything,
yeah,
you're kind of known for your own kind of brand of that future bass kind of sound.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I actually used to live in Brooklyn like 2 years ago, and I can remember hearing like future bass at like this weird like sketchy venue in Brooklyn, and it was just like, you know, a bunch of just like, you know, no name kind of DJs, but like the crowd just loved this sound, you know. Mm-hmm. And at the time, yeah, it was super fresh, super like early on in that, yeah, whole genre. There was something about it because it has like, you know, the cool like almost like hip hop influences, and then just very vibey, very very cool stuff. What was it about that kind of attracted you to going that route, you know, or what influenced you even to go with that genre?
It was kind of like I was making like beats at the time, and I was about ready to start bringing back the guitar and the songwriting. And I don't think it was even like consciously thinking of like, oh, like future bass is kind of the thing. Yeah. I just was like, well, how can I get these heavy drums with like my guitars and my piano and these like big saw sounds that I was playing with? Like, how could I do that? And then someone showed me Lido, and I was like, oh, okay, like, this all makes sense. And then it wasn't until, like, I started getting into it, and then I was, like, reading what blogs were writing about stuff, which, you know, sometimes you should do, sometimes you should just kind of
Search yourself. Sometimes it hurts, sometimes it helps.
Yeah.
Same
thing with comments.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe some comments are better left unread.
Yeah.
Or unsaid for you nasty SoundCloud trolls.
Yeah, stop hating, man. So many haters on there.
So many.
They.
Yeah.
They can't stop me.
They don't want you to put out records.
They don't want you to put out records on SoundCloud. But yeah, it just kind of evolved from wanting to combine all of that stuff that I've been doing.
That's very cool. That's cool to hear. Lido's definitely like such a pioneer in that whole thing.
Outrageously talented.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah. And so I think we're gonna get into your song.
Let's do it.
Spirito's got you on that one.
Yeah, so this is I Don't Wanna Love You by Prince Fox featuring Melody Noel here on the Beats and Booze podcast.
Feelings that'll hopefully die, but they're burning hotter than I usually like. Don't wanna let you in, I shouldn't let you in, but I might let you in. Don't wanna let you in, I shouldn't let you in, but I might. 'Cause when we get together, I'm feeling like a dream. But when I'm all alone, I see a path for me. Don't get any closer, I have no self-control, no. Don't wanna let you in, I shouldn't let you.
was I Don't Wanna Love You by Prince Fox featuring Melody Noel. Such a dope track. It's doing really well right now. What's the story behind that?
It was a top line that I'd gotten from the guys over at Primary Wave, and then I sent it back and forth a couple of times with Melody.
Right.
The original version of it was a UK garage song.
Oh, wow.
And we kind of had a meeting. And we decided that that just like wasn't my sound, and I just kind of whipped it up thinking that it fit
right.
the track.
Right.
And I was like frustrated with a lot of things at the moment. Then I just sat down with one of my other managers, Mark, and I was like, well, what should I do? He's like, just do you. And then I just kind of cooked that up in like an evening, and we submitted it like a day or two later. And
damn.
Like, oh, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah. So it just kind of fell into place. Yeah.
Happened.
Shit. Well, that's a great
pressure
story.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's a pretty happy mistake, I'd say, right there.
That's when I did all my best work, when it was like due in 4 hours.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. Don't plan to procrastinate, but if you do, just make sure you kill it.
I love that. That's great advice, all episodes.
Wow, yeah, you are killing it right now.
Thank you.
Start your own podcast, just like random little advice.
Prince Fox's advice. Volume 5, don't be a dick.
I love it. Well, now on to your new track right now, Fragile.
Yes.
Featuring Hailee Steinfeld, who obviously is a huge superstar.
Superstar.
Pop world. She's an actress. She's all over the
place.
She's
all over the place. She really is.
How did this collaboration come about? It's such a cool kind of meeting of two different kinds of people, I feel like.
What I was saying when I wrote earlier, I wrote a bunch of songs with Blaze and Aaron and Lil Aaron. And this Fragile, actually... Shouts out to Twitter, because if it wasn't for Twitter, this wouldn't happen. But wow. I met Lil Aaron through friends on Twitter. We were like added to a group chat together.
Sweet.
And I'd like heard of some of the stuff he was doing. And I was like, yo, dude, we should do something together. He's like, oh, are you in LA? I was like, no, I'm in New York. He's like, all right, like, let me send you some stuff.
Yeah.
And he sent me a box full of like 15 like smash hits. And I was like, what
damn.
In yeah. the world, dude? Like, who are you? Like, what is this? And like the original demo for Fragile was in there that he had done with Jordan Palmer. And I was like, dude, can you send me like the vocals for this? I want to like try some arrangement things, like maybe, you know, edit some of the vocals,
yeah,
and then just do like my quote treatment to it, you know, mm-hmm. redo the track and arrange it how I would have done it if I had actually written the whole thing on my own.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. So he sent me the files, and I whipped up the demo for Fragile, and I sent it to my A&R, and he really liked it. This was like probably November or December time. And then fast forward through the holidays, like beginning of January, I called my A&R. I was like, hey, like, I really would love to write with Lil Aaron and Blaze. And they're like, what? You know those guys? Like, everyone's trying to write with them. And I was like, yeah, like, they're like my really good friends. Like, anyway, we could get them over. They're like, yeah, sure, no problem. So they flew them out here for 3 days, and we wrote 5 songs together.
Wow.
And on the third day that they were in town, we went into my A&R's office and literally played all the songs and just danced around the office and just partied and went crazy. And at that point, like, they were just like, whoa, okay, like, what do you want to do? Like, yeah. Who do you want on this? Like, these are great. Like, we're super happy with this. And we decided that we were going to go with Fragile first. And I said, I think Hailee Steinfeld would sound really good on this. Like, yeah. Do you think we could send it to her? Yeah, like, we'll totally send it to her. So they sent it to her and her A&R and her team. After I found out that she had heard it and liked it, I flew out to LA like 2-3 days later, tracked it with her, and then it's been in the polishing process ever since, and finally done and approved this week.
Wow. That's incredible. The validation has to be, you know, amazing to send it out to somebody who's a huge name like that,
yeah.
just came off of a smash hit this past summer.
Yeah.
And you send it to her and she likes the track and wants to work with you. How crazy is that?
It was crazy. I mean, it's definitely another one of those like foot growing analogies, yeah. but like when I got the call that she liked it, I was like, damn, like, yeah. this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, this is... If this like goes all the way, like, and it gets finished and it gets done and happens, like, this could be, you know, really great. And it ended up being great. Like, she's a super cool person to begin with, but yeah. also really good to work with in the studio.
Yeah, I was going to ask what she liked to like actually work
like,
with.
Like, crazy awesome in the studio. I've been really? Telling this anecdote every interview that asked me about this.
Yeah.
And we had tracked all the lead vocals and we were just doing doubles and harmonies.
Right.
And I hit the talk back to ask her if she could hit the high octave uh-huh. over the chorus. And it's super high. And like, as I had the talk back held down, she heard someone in the studio giggling. She's like, well, why are you giggling? I was like, it's just really high. Like, not
right.
many people can
yeah,
hear
yeah.
this. She goes, I got you. Absolutely nailed it. Like, complete precision. And like, looks through the glass, like, gives
us
a little
bitches?
Peace sign. Like, what's
yeah.
up? I got you. Like, I got this. Like, I know I got this. And I was like, respect. Like, you killed it.
Wow.
Yeah, no. So she's awesome.
That's great.
Her mom, I think, is her manager as well, and right. she's hanging out too. Super lovely, great team. They make That's... like just good vibes all around. It was like the most. I was so nervous going into that session.
Right.
And
I
just
can imagine.
Felt so relaxed. Mm-hmm. You know, in the first 5 minutes, like just hanging out and talking, getting everything set up. It's like just good vibes all around. Like the record was kind of made before it was made,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. It just fell into place. I feel like, you know, just get in the studio together and it just happens.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's so cool. And before we get into the song, you touched on something about meeting these guys on Twitter.
Yeah.
So we had Jack Novak
here. Yeah, she met a lot of people on Twitter.
Yeah, she's all about like building internet friendships and like talks about how she's built like actual real like best friends from the people she's met online. Are you
her roommate? Like,
my
I think
my
she
best friend I met on Twitter, like Harry Choppa Dunks, like I met via Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so insane. So that this is just like, I guess this is a real thing, a real life thing that people.
I gotta get on Twitter more.
I know.
Find some new friends.
Twitter is the best.
Yeah. My Twitter game.
I mean,
is
I
so
love
weak.
You, Instagram. Yeah. Facebook, your reach could be better, but no hate. But Twitter's the cat's pajamas.
Nice.
The fox's crown, if you will.
I like that one. That one's good.
On that note, we should definitely get into this song.
This is Fragile by Prince Fox featuring Haley Steinfeld here on the Beats and Booze podcast.
Listen, boy, what if I told on my mind, do you think you could understand me? Would you even bat an eye? I know that I can be mistaken, but you know we all make mistakes. I know you're running out of patience.
Hi, this is Celesto.
This is Blau, and follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Beats and Booze.
All right, so that was Fragile by Prince Fox featuring Haley Steinfeld. That is a fucking smash.
Thank you.
I wish you the best on that one.
Thank
it's going to do good things. So What we do on the show is we have our previous guest leave a question for our next guest, and Sunburn left a really good question for you. Are you ready?
Kevin.
The face he's giving me is a little nervous. So his question is, would you rather take a shower with your grandmother or grandfather?
If I've ever heard a Kevin question.
Jared, you have to answer too.
There's no right answer.
His face is just pure disgust right now. Just Kevin, like, what do I do?
If you're listening to this, Kevin, the visual that you put in my head right now is something that I don't wish upon anybody.
I don't think anybody wants to do either of these things, but you have to answer it.
Yeah. He answered his own question.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's like if you were wondering if he had an Oedipus complex.
Yeah.
He answered it for you.
It's true. It would be
too
like
soon?
A grandma.
Too real? Too real? Oh, my God, dude.
So?
Let's throw up.
Gamma or Pops? Who is it going to be?
Oh, man. I could make this really dark really quickly, but I'm not going to do that to Kevin. I don't want to. Does it have to be like a specific shower? It could be like a gym shower where they're like on the other side.
Sure. For the scenario.
Okay, gym shower with one of my grandfathers.
Okay.
I'm not going to be in like a stall pressed up against anyone. I'll jump out a window before
that's the spirit of the question.
Thank
I
you,
don't
Jared.
Care.
Thank you.
That's the spirit of the question.
It's all right. We'll make it one of those really nice ones where there's jets coming from everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to be facing the other way. I don't want to know anyone else is in there.
All right. So this question's tough. So nice job, Sunburn.
Yeah.
Oh my
way
God.
To go, Kev. Jared, do you have a response for this?
Definitely pop off because I want to pay homage to all this.
Nice job, Gramps.
All of what?
Oh.
kidding. He has a monster dong. He's hogging out.
All right, shit's getting weird right now. The tequila's kicking in. All right, so now it's your turn to leave a question for our next guest.
I knew it was going to be that twisted.
You can make it as twisted or general as you want. Previous questions have been...
If you could be equally as famous for doing anything or nothing... Like, you could pick anything, or you could just pick, like, famous for nothing.
Right.
Just, like...
Like a Kardashian.
I wasn't going to call them out specifically.
Whatever. They're not listening to this show. Kim, if you are, hi, what's up? I'm Chris.
What's your Twitter handle? Yeah.
Give me a call.
It's a good plug to have. She
right?
tweets you, man.
Shit.
She's famous for a lot of things. She's,
yeah, that's true.
She
I guess,
became
yeah.
famous for a lot of
she
things.
She became yeah. famous. You're right. You're right.
You have to answer your own question now. What would be your answer to this?
I think I really like what I'm doing, yeah. but in another time period... You could also could be any time
right.
period. Like you could choose to be like a Mozart type. Like
really,
that question's super open.
Yeah,
but in another time period, I would love to be like in the Beatles or like in a blues trio that was just like crushing.
Right,
me. Nice. That's I like that.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah,
Jared, what would you do? Would you be famous for nothing, or would you want to be known for something?
I feel like
let
me answer this for you because I feel like have you ever seen Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yeah.
You know how the guy goes back in time and invents Lugal?
Invents Google, yeah.
I think that's Jared.
Jugal.
Yeah. He's going to invent Jugal.
Do you want to know the honest truth? I look back when I watch like movies, you know, that are set in like the 20s or 30s, I just think how easy it was to be a gentleman criminal.
Right.
And I'm like, that's me.
Yeah.
That's a life.
You know, like victimless crimes,
mm-hmm.
that would be my thing.
Just like money racketeering before like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, victimless crimes. Yeah. I don't want to hurt anyone.
Yeah.
But, like to get away with things back then. Like a catch me if you can type.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Leo
yeah.
DiCaprio type in that
movie. Yeah, just cash and checks, you know.
That's what I'd want to be.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. Ooh, Infamous. Okay.
Like
all right. That's a good answer.
Urban legend, Jay Blash. Yeah.
But I don't want to be notorious.
Okay.
Okay.
No Notorious B.I.G. for you.
Since a public school era.
That's it. All right, so there you have it.
Yeah.
Jared wants to be a criminal in 1920.
A 1920s criminal, yeah.
And Sam wants to be a Beatle.
Yeah.
Prince Fox. All right.
I like it. Well, yeah, why don't you plug your socials and all that kind of stuff? Where can people find you?
Everything /Prince Fox Music, Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud. And my Snapchat, most important, because that gets lit.
Is your Snapchat game lit right
my
now?
Snapchat game is very lit.
Yeah.
How was your Miami story?
Oh, that was a crazy
just
night.
Just fire.
Yeah, fire. It's Prince-Fox.
Got it.
That one's crucial.
Nice.
Don't miss it.
Don't miss that one. Miss it. I'll be sure to put that down on the details on the SoundCloud and stuff.
Yes.
Dramos?
Yeah, you can follow me at DJ Dramos for everything.
At DJ Spirito, SPIRITO. Follow my Snapchat for behind the scenes footage in the studio of us taking shots and doing dumb shit.
And follow the show at Beats and Booze. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, all that good stuff.
Yes, please. Comment, review, rate, all that fun stuff so we can become famous.
Yeah.
That's it.
You already are.
Aww.
That's such sweet. A sweetheart.
Awesome. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming by. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Studio. And best of luck with everything. Loving the new song. I think it's going to be a smash, honestly.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm excited, dude.
All right. See you guys later.
Peace.
Oh, yeah.
That was so incredibly lame.
The Beats and Booze Podcast.